I will tell you, Matt, I did not know that the... I figured every military service as the branch has some sort of a song. I didn't know there was really this, what the Coast Guard... I'm getting used to it, though, as well.
It's catchy, I'll
though
say
I
that.
Still am a little bit disappointed in the fact that they have to use the phrase, this is the song of the U.S. Coast Guard.
Just let you know, you're not hearing a speech. It's a song.
As well, but maybe somebody who hums this in the office on occasion... the recruiting office, we have Steve Villareau, who's the U.S. Coast Guard recruiter. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, you live in North Ridgeville, right?
I do, yeah, just around the corner.
And the Coast Guard recruiter office is where now?
Fairview Park, like Rocky River border.
Okay.
Or Westgate Mall.
And it's a chance for people to come in. And do they come in and wonder what you do? How does what happens usually at your recruiting office, or where you go out and speak to people maybe related to the becoming a member of the U.S. Coast Guard?
Well, with this day and age, a lot of people utilize websites. They talk to people on live chat, and then we get all their information from the website, and then we'll contact them. We do have some people that come by the office and just want to ask questions. And then mostly during the school year, we'll go and talk to schools, and or during events, we'll talk to different people.
Now, when you're up there with recruiters and they've got Army, Marine, you know, Air Force, Navy, how do you stand out? What is it that you talk to people about the U.S. Coast Guard and being a part of that service?
I think, you know, we don't really talk about the other services because we're not part of that job. So we have no idea. We have an idea what they do, but we can't tell them, you know, everything.
Right.
All we can really do is just talk about ourselves and what we can offer them. You know, all the incentives across the board are relatively the same. But one thing we like to promote to people is that you don't have to choose your job before you go to boot camp, and then you can choose it after as long as you qualify with the ASVAB, which I think is something that's good for someone if they want to do it for 4 or 20 years. You know, they got to do something they love.
We had somebody in here who had the interest in the ham radios and did radio work. What other, I guess, jobs are there with the U.S. Coast Guard?
Well, there's many. We call it rates, actually, and there's quite a bit, and there's probably about 20 or 21, and some of them are reserve-only positions. But your typical Coast Guardsmen that you usually see every day, like on Lake Erie, you'd be a bosun's mate, machinery technicians. Those are the guys that drive the boat, and those are the guys that fix the boat. And then from there, we have, you know, we have our culinary specialist. Myself, I'm a maritime enforcement specialist, so I go out there and I board vessels, and my background is maritime law enforcement. Guys that work on the electrical equipment, electricians, you know, we have intel specialists as well. So many different rates, but just because you're a part of one rate, we wear many different hats. Like, I'm not just a maritime enforcement specialist. I also am a small arms instructor or a damage control training team. So we do have our main job, but they put a lot of focus on doing collateral duties as well.
Now, of course, we are on the Great Lakes where there is a lot of Coast Guard presence. I mean, some places that are landlocked or don't have a coast don't really see it a lot. We hear a lot about the Coast Guard, mainly a lot of times in rescue operations. That seems to be the point at which there's a lot of that going on. Is that typical? I mean, is that how you would assume how your week or day goes? Those are kind of the main things that take place on occasion?
From my experience on the Great Lakes, I was stationed in Detroit. Very, very busy in the summer. Obviously, the winter is, you know, really slow. There's a lot of ice, which is good because the tempo of the summer is pretty big. If we're not actively out there doing search and rescue missions, we're out there doing training or actually going on vessels and boarding them to ensure they're in compliance with the safety regulations as well. So we're not always stagnant. We're always doing something. And I really like that we're not constantly training. We're actually out there doing the job when we go out there and patrol.
You mentioned you were in maritime law. What was it that drew you to the Coast Guard in that particular field?
My whole family's, like a lot of my dad, my uncles, my cousins, they're all in law enforcement. They're all cops. And at first, I didn't think I wanted to do that. But then when I started, after I joined the Coast Guard, it's something that really intrigued me. The more I did it, the more I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think I was competent in it. So I think that's why I enjoyed it. And then from doing the law enforcement on the Great Lakes, I wanted to challenge myself further. Then I went and got stationed out in Boston. And then from there, we would go on the cutter, go down to South America and work off South America, like Colombia and Ecuador, and do counter-narcotics. So that's something that really intrigued me and really drive me to, you know, as far as like the law enforcement levels I could go.
How long have you been involved in the Coast Guard?
I'd be 18 years in October.
Okay. Because I'm wondering what the transition of the Coast Guard sort of and happened right after 9/11, where there was sort of a different relating to things happening within our borders a lot of types of things would happen outside. What kind of changes did you notice that took place really before and after, I guess, those type of things?
I remember I was stationed in New York City when that happened. I was about 20 miles east of downtown New York. And I remember everyone didn't know what to do, and we were just reacting. I think we should go here, go there. And very slowly but surely, like over the year or 2 years, we really transitioned from being like a military, you know, group, and then to like a full force, like serious military organization. And it was pretty apparent when we switched to Homeland Security. You know, we changed uniforms. You could tell the policies and demeanor really changed. Like when I joined, I can say I joined the Coast Guard back in the old day, because the things we would get away with would not even fly at all these days. And I think that's a good thing. You know, everyone's on the same page. Policies across the board, everyone's adhering to. Even the way we train, everything's all the same. Where before is kind of up to each individual unit and how to train individuals, whether it be doing search and rescue tactics or law enforcement and all that. So big, big change around 2004.
Was there a change in funding for the Coast Guard at that time? Did you notice anything like that? New vessels or equipment or just sort of things?
Definitely. We went from Department of Transportation and then to Homeland Security when Homeland Security was established. And from there, we used to always get the hand-me-downs from the Navy. And then all of a sudden, our funding changed where we got our own brand-new cutters. And they started building those, I want to say, 10 years ago. And then next thing you know, they're rolling new cutter after new cutter out. And even the equipment that we receive, the life-saving equipment that we wear, you know, the life jackets or dry suits, everything is, you know, checked constantly every 3 or 6 months just to make sure that we're always safe and adhering to policy constantly.
How does that benefit us, I guess, on a daily basis outside of maybe the Homeland Security aspect of it? Just having that equipment, those abilities, maybe this sort of renewed focus, helping just out in what you normally would do, I guess.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that just sets the tone for the whole organization. You know, it was a tough transition period in like 2003, 2004 for the old guard, then to the new guard. And you always used to hear, well, that's not how we used to always do it. And then you had to really drop that demeanor, you know. And if you couldn't, then you're the ones that fell behind.
So you saw really maybe a shift in maybe even just personnel, not outside of attitude. But
everything. Yeah, everything. It was pretty wild because it was pretty apparent how much of a change it was. Like, I really used to not worry about, you know, just being a 22, 23-year-old. And all of a sudden, I was like, I need to be a mature adult at 23 because I could lose my job, you know. I know it's hard to explain, but the whole shift, you know, from funding to safety equipment to just the whole demeanor, it really changed.
It added probably just a bigger responsibility
big time,
you suddenly realized because of it, because
right.
of what you could do and what the Coast Guard's role played in during 9/11 and other incidents that may take place.
Correct.
I think Bruce kind of touched on it earlier. When you think of the Coast Guard, you think of the movie The Guardian with Kevin Costner and Ashton Kutcher coming down, saving people in the water. As a recruiter, I mean, how much of it is getting out there and telling them, look, there's more you can do. We're stopping drug traffickers from coming into the country. We're protecting the country's borders. Is that a big part of what you do?
Yeah, a lot of people are naive to what we do. You know, they'll come in. The first question I ask them is, why the Coast Guard? Most of the time I get blank stares. And then the other time is, well, I love the water. And the whole Kevin Costner thing is kind of not as popular anymore because the movie's a little bit older, but we do still get that from older people. You know, you guys jump out of helicopters, you know, and so right now when people are in my office, I have to explain the whole entire job, and it's either something that intrigues them or they could be like, no, I don't want to do that. But I think most of them, when they hear actually what we do and that we are mostly, you know, stateside, and in the Great Lakes, you know, something people in Cleveland, that really appeals to them, that they could be stationed in Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. So most people are surprised, and if anything, they're really intrigued by it. No one's really deterred by all our missions.
Sure. You mentioned people come in, too, saying they love the water, but I'm sure sometimes they don't realize how much you guys are actually out there on the smaller boats. Do you
Correct.
Have that sort of reaction to people?
Oh, yeah, all the time. People really don't know what we do, like I said, until they need us, uh-huh. and then all of a sudden, you know, even on the news, you know, you hear about people drowning or boating accidents. And then all of a sudden, once they realize what the Coast Guard does, then it's pretty wild how much you realize it's talked about on the news and radio or whatnot.
Well, you mentioned something related to people on the waters. Can you give maybe a, either 60-second safety appeal to people out there who are on the waters?
The best thing I could do is talk to your local Coast Guard auxiliary. They will do a free inspection on your vessel. They are a volunteer organization within the Coast Guard, and they can either go to you, or usually they're at like local marinas, they can meet you there, and they will determine the size of your vessel, and they will tell you every single piece of safety requirement that you need. And if you don't have that requirements, they're not going to give you a fine. So if anything, they're giving you an inspection before we actually will go out there and board you and inspect you. You know, because if there is violations, then we will give them a piece of paper. They'll have to pay for it or have to correct the discrepancy. The auxiliary, it's kind of like a heads up, and they'll teach you boating safety as well. So our number one objective is to always make sure people are safe. That's why we board their boats, to ensure we're not out there looking for them for, you know, 8-10 hours. So it's kind of, it helps them, helps us type of thing.
So let's say the Nina and the Pinta are in the Great Lakes. Does that turn heads on occasion for people out there?
Absolutely, yeah. Any boat over 50 feet will turn heads. You know, though you got those big freighters going through the lakes. But, yeah, anything that's bigger than like a recreational boat, yeah, it gets people's attention all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we have this morning a U.S. Coast Guard recruiter. You're out at the Fairview Park office. If people want to find out more, Steve, about the Coast Guard, or maybe they're interested, or thinking this is a career for them, how do they go about contacting you or just getting the details for them?
Just give us a call in the office at 216-812-7093. And then they can also go to gocoastguard.com and then search for a recruiter, and then they would give them Cleveland's address, right, which is us.
Semper paratus, right? Is that always ready?
Always ready.
So I like that. That's very good. Yep. This morning, we got with us U.S. Coast Guard recruiter Steve Villarreal joining us this morning, weathering the storm to get here to join us, and I know you'll have a busy day at the office this morning. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.